Hello, hello, and welcome to the Roadmap to Revenues. It's our weekly Wednesday training live Q&A call. It's designed for ambitious entrepreneurs ready to scale from six to seven figures, and I'm so excited that you're here listening in today. Each week on Wednesdays, we'll be diving into business training designed to up-level both you as the CEO of your business, but also your results, because we want to make sure we get those going too. And today, I'm talking all about five must-have CEO strategies to scale your business. And I have a hunch that they might not be exactly what you think I'm going to talk about, so it'll be fun to see that. I'm Sue Clement, and once again, I'm excited that you're listening in either live or with the replay. And, you know, when we talk about business, I reference business owners as CEOs because I really believe that as the business owner, we should have that CEO mentality. And, you know, there's a bit of a distinction, I think, the difference of, you know, CEOs have a business. They own the business, and the business is a separate identity from themselves. And also, oftentimes, as entrepreneurs, we tend to think that we are the business, and I really want to make that distinction. So that's why I reference everyone as being a CEO. And even if you don't have employees, that's okay. You are the leader of your business. So think of it from that perspective. And, you know, as a leader of the business, particularly sometimes in today's world, things have been challenging for a lot of businesses. But, you know, perhaps our problem we're talking about today is like how to scale your business. Maybe your sales have been a bit flat. Maybe they've been a bit wonky because the economy's certainly kind of wonky. Maybe you've been on a bit of a plateau. But I'm going to share today some concepts that hopefully will elevate your thinking and elevate your results. Because after working with, you know, ambitious business owners for the last 20 years, oh my gosh, it makes me feel like an old dog. But the good news of that is I have actually probably coached people in over 170 different industries. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a lot of different types of businesses, whether they're B2B or B2C. I've been out there working and talking to business owners for a long time, and what I love doing is bringing the depth of that information, the depth of the learning and experience of that to my calls and to my clients. And the other part of it, too, is for the last 20 years, I've been mentored and coached by some of the best in the industry. Yes, I do have a coach. I've always had a coach, and they keep me on my game. And so from that, I've had front row seats to actually see what works when it comes to growing a business. I've seen what doesn't work, where people get hung up, and where they get stuck. And so today, I'm going to be sharing with you some ideas that will hopefully help you elevate, and I can't wait to get into them with you. But before we do, just want to get some of the rules of the road done today. If you were on the phone lines, if you have a question, you can press star 2 and ask your question. Love that, because you can ask your question live, and we can maybe even get some on the spot coaching with you, which would be really cool. And if you're on the web call or on the broadcast, either one, you can post your questions. There's a Q&A box. Just click on that and post your questions away. And, of course, there's a chat. So if you are on the web call or on the broadcast, type in now and say hello on the chat. And Megan, my trusty assistant, is here to help me monitor the chat. And I'm going to say hello, Megan. Say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone.
I always do that. You're always on mute or something and put you on the spot there. But Megan will be.
I do see that there is one gentleman who's having some technical difficulties. He says he can't hear us, but I'm not seeing anything on our end. So hopefully that's I'm going to just recommend to him that he try and reload the page.
Yeah, or maybe just give him the phone numbers and he can dial in.
Yes, I will do that.
I'm just looking at the chat. Oh, that's Ron. Ron's, I think, Vancouver. So why don't you just give him the number, the 778-300-1942 and the PIN. Yeah, post that in. And that would be cool so that
we'll do that.
He can hopefully hear us. Ah, funny. And you can hear me okay, right?
I can hear you fine. Yes, and I just checked the webcast, and it appears to be working.
Yeah, Ron might need to have speakers plugged into his, because if he's doing the broadcast or the web call, this goes for everyone, because there's like three options to get on this call, so maybe it's confusing for some, but he can also, if he's on the computer, on the on the broadcast, maybe he doesn't have his microphone jack plugged in. I don't know. Anyways,
that's also a possibility.
I'll leave that to you to troubleshoot. Thanks. Anyway, so if you are watching or listening in live, you can, you know, go in the chat, tell us hello and where you're from and what's going on for you. And, of course, you can always post your questions there. Please do, because after the brief training, we're going to jump in and have some live Q&A. So if you're on the phones, you can press star 2 to listen in that way and ask questions. Raise your hand, and then I'll know that you're here. So once again, I'm Sue Clement. I'm a business acceleration expert. I have already alluded to the fact that for the last 20 years, I've been helping business owners grow their companies to think and grow like a seven-figure CEO is how I like to position it. And it is really all about helping businesses elevate their success and be more profitable, be more successful, and to grow a bigger and better business. And so today we're talking all about those strategies that we're going to help you up-level yourself, help you be more successful in your business. And that's what I'm excited about walking through and sharing today. And so let's jump in right away. 5 CEO traits that you need to have. Once again, I think you might be surprised because they might not be what you're thinking about. No, I'm not talking about marketing today. I'm talking more about the inner game of being that CEO. Number one trait is being decisive. You know, there's a funny quote that I heard once, the road is littered by flattened squirrels. I know that sounds terrible if you're an animal lover, but let's be honest. If you don't make decisions, you can get flattened in business. Making decisions rapidly is really an art. And I find that a lot of people get hung up on this. They want to, you know, pontificate. They want to explore every option all the way to finesse. And I only say that because I, too, can have that tendency to want to kind of make sure that everything's going to work out before I decide. And that's not going to happen very well because the longer you take to make the decision, the more opportunities you're missing. And really, let's be honest, decisions, I think, are like trains. You know, years ago, I got hired, I love this one, I got hired, yes, to go to Denmark and speak at a women's engineer conference. I was teaching all about networking back in those days, and so they got a free, all-expensive paid trip to go to Denmark to do a speaking gig at a conference, and then the next day I spoke with a whole bunch of business entrepreneur startups, which was a lot of fun. And, you know, the different languages and that, it was kind of a challenge. But after my time in Denmark, I went to Paris, and I had like a 5-day quick weekend in Paris. And I must admit, I am a car girl, and so I don't even take the bus here or, you know, the SkyTrain. I wouldn't even know how to get on a SkyTrain in Vancouver. But there I am in Paris, and I'm in the metro, and they have trains, and it's a different language. And frankly, if I, you know, got so hung up on what train to take and not and being indecisive, I could probably still be standing on the platform there. And did the train I take always got me to where I was trying to get to? Nope. I'll be honest, I took a few wrong trains. But here's the thing, decisions just like trains, there's always another one coming. And so if you make a decision and it doesn't get you the result you want, just like the train didn't get me to where I want it to go, guess what? You can make another decision and another decision. That's one thing, you know, that we can count on in life is there will always be another decision to make. And in your business, there will always be lots of decisions. So your ability to unattach yourself from the outcome and be more embracing of making decisions, be more confident in your ability to make decisions, and making decisions without having all the facts and figures. Sometimes we make them blind. But the more decisions you make, I'll honestly say the faster you'll accelerate the growth of your business. Because as much as you think, well, no, if I spend time and I analyze things and I run the numbers and I get all the facts, I'll make better decisions. And you know what? You may be right. If you have all the facts, figures, and run all the numbers, yes, you probably have more details, more data. You can probably make a better informed decision. Is it always going to be a better decision? Maybe, maybe not. but ultimately you'll make them slower and you'll make less of them. And so really embracing decisiveness, even when you don't have the facts, even when you're unsure, but making a decision is a better thing than not making a decision. And the people who are more successful are the ones that focus on what they can control, what they do know, and then make a decision and move forward from there. You know, when we shift away from the problem and instead look towards the result, that also is an easy way to unhook yourself from that uncomfortable feeling of, oh, I might be making the wrong decision. So don't worry about where it's going to take you. It will take you somewhere else. And from that somewhere else, you can make another decision and another decision. And I'll be honest, sometimes I've made some wonky decisions, and some of them have been colossal challenges and failures, but oh my gosh, some of them have been colossal hits. So you never know exactly where they're going to go. But do have the confidence that you can always course correct along the way. Have confidence that you can always make another decision, focus on what you can control, learn to make decisions rapidly and decisively. That is a huge trait that will elevate your success. So that's number one, be more decisive. Like trains, there's always another one coming. Number two, now this is a one that I see really, you know, gets a lot of people stuck. And that is always to be, what you want to be doing, is to always be pushing past your limitations. Yeah, you always want to stretch yourself past your limitations. You need to be bolder. You need to have belief in yourself. You do need to have that mental toughness to be confident and courageous all at once. You know, that lizard brain that we all have wants to keep us small and safe. And if you're not prepared to leap out, leap up, stretch out, grab the golden ring, whatever the metaphor you want to use, if you are not pushing past your limitations, you're not going to grow rapidly enough. And so that might be why you're kind of in a plateau. You've been kind of circling the drain, doing the same old, but the same old isn't working anymore. And it's time to up-level you, to push through those limitations, to push past that, so that you can up-level your business. You know, it's that, I call it the rookie mindset. Now, if you've been in business for a long time, you might have to kind of think back a ways. Or maybe you're new in business. And I love new people in business because they have that rookie mindset. It's that kid's mindset. And I'm not talking about youthfulness necessarily, but when we're new, we're not so risk adverse. We're willing to try anything. And we, most people at least, and oh, I certainly was, I had that youthful recklessness almost. It's like, oh, well, I just go do it. And if it failed, oh, well, I got up and did it again. And you just find that ease in actually just trying stuff. And I think sometimes as we do something longer and longer, or maybe as we age too, that might be part of it as well. But what happens is we get more and more risk adverse, where we, you know, we don't want to risk because we might fail. And that's when that whole, you know, failing, fear of failing, kind of that whole, you know, failing issue can get in our way. It can really stuck us up. It can constipate your business like nothing else in the world is having that fear of failure, you know, thinking, oh, it might not work. You know, I might not have all the details. I might not have all the facts. I'm not going to make decisions. I'm not going to push my limits. I'm going to do the same old, same old. Well, that's not going to grow your business. Frankly, the saying, what got you here won't get you there, is no joke. I wish it was. It sounds really cute. It would be nice if it was just a platitude. But honest to God, it is the truth. And we have to continually to change as we get to a new there. So what got you here won't get you there. You need to always be pushing past your limitations. You know, I put a post out the other day that said, start before you're ready. And what happens a lot of us do is we get hung up getting ready to get ready. And we spend all our focus, instead of our focus being on where we want to go and how we're going to get there, we're kind of focusing on making plans and getting things together. And, you know, and it's really challenging. I was talking to a prospect last week, and, you know, she identified that coaching would be helpful for her. She identified where she wanted to go. But it was all of a sudden this, you know, she hit the edge of the cliff. When she was ready to make that leap, right? Ready to make that leap up to the next level. And she's like, oh, well, I think I have to do this, 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 and this. And she listed off a whole bunch of projects that she wanted to do before she could take this next leap into coaching, before she could kind of up-level her business. And it was heartbreaking to me because when we kind of get ready to get ready, when we kind of grab onto the things that we need to do, that we think are important to do, they are just distractors. They're holding us back from moving forward. So start before you're ready. And you'll figure it out on the way. You have to have that confidence and to be courageous enough to do that. Have that rookie mindset. I tell you, rookies, some people, you see them and they fly off so fast at the beginning, but then they slow down because they begin to get worried about failing. So don't worry about failing. You know, you can't be risk intolerant and grow your business. That's one thing I know for sure. You know, it's interesting. One of my first jobs out of university, I was married really young, and I had a house. We bought a house. We had a first mortgage, a second mortgage, borrowed half the down payment. I mean, how ridiculous is that? The house was like $38,000 back then. It was a fortune for us. Anyways, I needed money. I finished university, and it was like, oh, my God, I got to go get my real job. And so, you know, I need this real job. Anyway, so I was looking for a career job, couldn't find one or hadn't found one yet, but we needed to pay the mortgage. So I found a job at a fabric store. There's a new big box fabric store. It was the first of its kind, like the first 10,000 square foot fabric store. I could sew. I knew a bit about fabrics and sewing, so I went and applied. And after 3 days working with the owner, who was from Calgary, I was in Edmonton, he was, you know, opening up this big store. He comes up to me on the third day and says, Sue, would you like to be the manager? And without a moment's thought, I'm like going, hell yes. So I had never worked retail before. I'd never rung a cash register before. And yet there I am saying yes. You know, saying yes to stuff is kind of a cool trait. I said yes to this, and it completely changed the direction of my career, changed the direction of my life. It gave me a huge, huge up-learning curve. Really cool thing is we opened the store 3 days later, and then that morning, after about an hour into the opening, the owner left to go to Calgary, and there I'm standing there with a staff of like 25. I was only 22 years old at the time, and this 10,000 square foot store. And, you know, it was a wild time. It was a crazy time. But the point I want to make is push past your limits. If you only do what you know how to do, then you're going to be doing what you're doing forever. And so you have to be willing to do things you've never done before, to do things you don't have a clue about how to do. You have to be willing to step out in that stage. Because if you only do what you know how to do, life gets pretty small. You need to up-level. One of the favorite books it's kind of my pocketbook that's always on my desk. It's called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a really cool book. If you want to figure out why you're stopping yourself, because, you know, we do. Let's be honest, self-sabotage. I'm no novice on that. I do it all the time. Self-sabotage is what's keeping us smaller. Our fear that we come up against, how we brush up against that, how we get, you know, unconfident, we feel a lack in confidence and courage, and all of a sudden, you know, we find ourselves, you know, maybe you've done this, you had a really good sales month, things are going great, and then all of a sudden, you kind of just sabotage yourself. You may not even really notice it. All of a sudden, you find that you're starting other projects, or you're not returning calls, or you're doing weird things that are just not in, you know, they're not congruent with where you want to go or the direction you're going in. And this book's a really cool book. It will help you up-level yourself. And remember, ultimately, more challenges mean more growth. If you're not being challenged, you're not growing. And so think back this last, you know, quarter. Have you been challenged? Are you challenging yourself? Are you growing enough? So remember, always be pushing past your limitations is number two. Number three, this is a good one too, is you need to be ruthlessly focused. Yes, ruthlessly focused to the degree that you learn how to remove distractions. You know, think of subtraction. What can you subtract from your desk? What can you subtract from your day? What can you subtract from your to-do list? You know, when we begin to start removing distractions, and we start subtracting things that aren't really that crucial or that important, we then accelerate our success. Because, you know, we all only have so many hours, minutes in the day. And so we need to make sure that we're really leveraging them well, that we're doing the high-yield activities, that we're getting the most out of our time. And if you're doing piddly little tasks, chances are you're losing out because you're wasting your time on things that aren't really going to up-level and grow you and your business. So it's really important that you have that focus, to be ruthlessly focused about your time and what you can do. Now, I've shared this story before, but it's one of my absolute favorites. My dad had a forest products company. It was like a $50 million plus business, and he and I would go out for dinner now and again. This is way back before I had my business. I was living in Edmonton. I was working for somebody then, and, you know, Dad told me this great story, and I've shared it with all my clients at one point or another, and because I was complaining about, you know, trying to get things done and things weren't coming together, and I was being challenged in the company that I was working for at the time. And he told me this story about, Sue, when your job is to go out into the swamp and your job is to drain the swamp, I'm thinking, what do you mean? What does draining a swamp have to do with my business challenges? Well, he continued on. He says, so you're out there, your job is to drain the swamp. You got your pole and your shovel and you got your hip waders on and whatever else you need. You got all your tools and you're out there draining the swamp. Well, all of a sudden you're surrounded by alligators. And what happens is we forget about the swamp. Instead, the alligators snapping at our heels are the ones that we begin to notice and the ones we begin to pay attention to. And before you know it, we become the best darn alligator wranglers, where we can master, you know, wrangling with an alligator, tying them up, dealing with them so we don't get bitten by them. And what happens is we get so good at that we forget that the purpose of why we're even in the swamp was to drain it. And so often our days look like that. We come into our offices, you know, open up our computers, and we think, okay, today is the day I'm going to get a client today, or today is the day I'm going to, you know, master this skill, or I'm going to launch this program, or I'm going to write my signature talk, or I'm going to, you know, write a bio, or whatever it is, the big project. Today's the day I'm going to phone clients. I'm going to, you know, do outreach. All these great things that will grow your business. But what happens is we get to our desk and all of a sudden we're surrounded by alligators and we forget all about the key purpose of what we're there for. Learning to remove distractions, figuring out what can you subtract from your day, from your desk, from your to-do list is so key. Having the clarity around that will absolutely up-level your business. You know, if you, you know, and what part of that too is your languaging and your focus, because we do need to be more focused about things. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I ask them what are their goals, and they say, I want to make more money. Well, that's interesting, don't we all? I want to get more clients. Well, yeah, that's how you get more money. So, but what's more? What does more even mean? If you can't quantify your goals, then chances are they're too vague. They're not going to have that, you know, lighthouse effect to really pull you in, that you know exactly where you're going. Having that real strong definitive goal will help you understand what you need to do. It will help you figure out what you don't need to do. And having a why behind the goal is what's going to be keeping you going when the going gets tough. You know, it's, you have to always ask yourself, you know, what you're doing, is it moving you towards your goal or not? When I had my employment agency, which I grew from startup to a multi-million dollar business and then sold it, I remember those early days when I was struggling to get clients. And one of the mantras that went through my head all day long, because I had a few employees and I, you know, like I had big expenses and I was digging a deeper, deeper debt hole, I had to keep asking myself, is what I'm doing right now bringing me closer to getting a client? Is what I'm doing right now getting me closer to bringing in a client? And if the answer was no, then I stopped doing that and I shifted my gear to what would bring me closer to getting that client, because my goal was to get a client that day. You know, so that's really what you have to do, is hold it at the top of mind. Be ruthlessly focused. Remove the distractions. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture of what you actually want. All those alligators you can get past them. Focus on what you can control, not what you can't control, and really know that those squirrels, shiny pennies, and alligators are just screwing you up. You need to work from a mastery level of removing distractions, keeping your focus. CEOs do that. You need to do that. That will elevate your business. Okay, are you ready for number four? I hope some questions are coming in. Megan, I'm going to sip some water, and you can tell me what's happening in the chat since I'm not looking at it.
Well, I definitely have some questions in the back end. In the chat, Ilana was excited about the book you mentioned by Gay Hendricks.
Oh, it's an excellent book, Ilana. You'll love that. Okay, cool. All right, so let's move on to number four. Now, this is a little off topic in a way. Maybe it's not. Number four to me is get help. Get help. You know, and there's different levels of help here. One way we could think of that is getting help by getting workers. Build a team. You cannot do this alone, nor do you want to. And on the flip side of it is get mentors, coaches, trainers. You know, take the shortcut to success by getting help from an outside perspective, in the sense of how can you learn from them? How can you up-level yourself? So if you're not always improving your knowledge, your understanding, your growth, then you're missing out. And also we do need worker bees around us. And, you know, this is the one thing is you don't have to know it all, and nor should you want to know it all. And that's something I had trouble with. I must admit, I kind of want to make sure that, you know, I'm a smart cookie and I want to make sure I've got everything under control. Well, it wasn't until I figured out how to actually, oh, this sounds funny, but how to hire people who were smarter than me. That was a huge up-level for me. And so when we start hiring people who are smarter than us, sometimes it can feel a little awkward because, you know, gosh, we want to be the smartest, you know, the sharpest knife in the drawer. And besides, we think, oh, my God, I'm the boss. I should know this. You know, these are my employees. I should know how to do these things. Well, the fact of the matter is when you can start hiring people better than you, that's when you really up-level. Otherwise, once again, we kind of go back to the saying, we only know what we know, we only do what we know, and we keep doing the same old stuff. We're not really going to grow our business. It's like, you know, I look at my plant on my counter here. If I don't fertilize it, like if I don't bring any outside nutrients into it, sooner or later I can keep watering it, sure, but it stunts. It's not going to grow. But if I had, you know, two cactuses the same and the ones I fertilized, we know they're getting bigger. You know, we need that outside help. We need that, you know, the nutritions from other people. And so really being able to look at your business and begin to understand that you don't need to do it all. You don't need to know it all. And to become a real leader is you don't have to be right all the time. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have the last word. Quite literally, building a support network around you is what's going to help elevate and elevate your business and accelerate your results. So surround yourself with smart people. You know, whether you hire a team, an assistant, a VA, you know, a salesperson or whatever, look at your business and decide where are the gaps? Where are you weakest at? You know, you always want to hire the off skills. I don't play cards very often, but, you know, we have the long suit and, you know, the Trump suit and the non-Trump suit, I guess Crazy Eights or Bridge or something like that, I remember from years ago. But, you know, we want to hire into our short suits, right? So whatever skills you're short on, you want to hire that. If you're, you know, like I'm a great starter, but I'm not a fabulous finisher. So I make sure that anyone I hire around me has got to be a strong finisher, right? I'm a great idea implementer, you know, a great idea generator, but I need someone who's going to implement the things for me. So think about yourself as where are you weakest? You know, if you have a certain skill set, then great, go do more of that. Of course, assuming that the skill set's relevant to your business growth. And if you don't have a skill set, then hire it out. Go find someone more brilliant who loves it, like accounting. Not my jam, okay? It isn't. Know how to do it? Not my jam. I don't care. But I can hire some to do that, and they love it. They're great at it. And you know what? I'm so happy because I don't have to do it. It's all taken care of. I don't have to learn a new skill. and it's done. And, you know, I have to kind of sticker because sometimes I see new entrepreneurs going out there and they're thinking, oh, I've got to learn this and I've got to learn this and I've got to learn this. And they're spending all their time learning skills that they could so easily hire and make way more money because they would be out there doing their jam. They'd be out there doing their you know, working their suit of skills that really bring in the money. And then all the rest of that stuff someone else can do for you. So I know I'm kind of ranting on this one because I can't tell you how fabulous it is when you have a team around you. They're doing the work for you. I love getting work done through others. I love that. When, you know, I had my employment agency, it was so cool because, you know, I was the only salesperson for a while there. And then I hired someone who would do telemarketing and booking appointments for me. That was when I made the biggest leap in my business. Is when I had someone who I walked in the door every morning and I would have a list of, you know, 4 to 5 sales calls I'd go on that day. I'd get back in the car, take off, and I was out there making money. I was doing what I could do best, which was selling, which was closing, and she was doing all the cold calling. Can I cold call? Yeah. Did I want a cold call? No, it was my favorite thing to do, of course. It is how I grew a $5 million business, mind you, but when I had someone else just kind of driving that side of the business for me, it was fabulous. It was just brilliantly good. And then ultimately, over time, I started hiring salespeople. So I only got to go into the really big, big sales. You know, so when we start to hire people beneath us that will take care of parts of our business, things that maybe you don't love doing, things that maybe you're not great at doing, when we start bringing people, a team around you, it's amazing. Now, a lot of people go, oh, but I can't afford it. Well, I often challenge them about this, is maybe you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, because how much is it costing you for you to be doing that work versus having a lower pay grade person doing that work, and then you go out there leveraging your talent, your genius, making the real big bucks for the business. So I want to tell you, get help, build a team, and get mentors, get support. Find the shortcuts that they took that can help you. You know, I used to coach a lot of mortgage brokers years ago. And without fail, every time I convinced one of my client mortgage brokers to bring on an assistant, without fail, I did it so many times that we would track it and they would almost instantly, I don't mean instantly like tomorrow, but in a very short period of time, actually increase their revenues by more than 30%. Because they had someone doing all the minutiae, the tasks that were kind of taking the mortgage broker out of the game of getting more mortgages. So think for yourself. Are you actually slowing down your success because you're trying to do it all? Get help, get help, get help. All right, enough on that one. Let's move on to number 5. And this is the last one. And this truly, I saved this for last because I think it's the best. Yes, this is one of the best things you can do. I mean, I probably want to say that to every one of them, but nonetheless, it is really a strong one to do. And so let me go in and tell you what it is. And this one, like number one and 5 are the bookends that I think are the best ones. It is rapid execution. No, not yours. We're talking about implementation. You know, being able to execute on your ideas, being able to execute on your plans, implementing, being a master of implementation is going to really elevate your success. It is, it is gold. It is the thing that will make the biggest impact on your business. And part of that kind of goes with the decisiveness. As I say, 1 in 5 kind of dovetail together nicely. You know, I'll share with you something that just happened to me this week, actually. I had a conversation with someone on Monday, one of my clients, and it was really interesting. We teased out a new business idea. She was selling a bigger package, and she thought, well, she could spin off part of her program as a standalone and sell it for less. By less, I mean $5,000. And so what we did, and so it wasn't any more work. She didn't have to really design anything, but she had some clients that couldn't afford her higher program but might be able to afford a lower price point. So by just coming winning off this idea, we brainstormed it on Monday afternoon. Well, this shows you what rapid acceleration looks like, because the next morning she had a Facebook post about this new program she was offering. She got on the phone, made some calls, sent some emails, and she actually closed a client that day. So from idea, implementation, to landed business, in one day, 24 hours, she made $5,000. So think of yourself is that, are you implementing fast enough? Or are you sitting there thinking about it? Now, she could have sat there and said, well, that's an interesting idea, so I'm not so sure. And then she could have talked herself out of it by saying, well, maybe no one would pay that. How many times have we heard that one, right? Oh, I don't think people would pay that. I don't know if I could find people at that rate. She could have gone off and had all sorts of ideas on that one. She could have talked herself out of it so easily. But instead, she took the idea and ran with it, like ran all the way to the goalpost, all the way to the end zone. And, you know, from concept to result in less than 24 hours, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the clients I love working with, people who want to go fast, people who have an idea, they want to get a concept, they want to put a strategy behind it, and they want to implement really quick. And so stop getting ready to get ready. Stop analyzing everything. Stop talking yourself out of your success. A lot of us are doing that. I know that. I talk to people all day long. I talk to clients all the time. You know, they ask me a question and they argue for their limitations. Instead of arguing for why they should do it, they almost start arguing why they shouldn't do it. And if you're doing that, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. Action is progress. And, you know, on the flip side, yeah, she could have launched this thing and sold none. But action is progress. And if you don't swing the bat, you're never going to hit the home run. And so you got to get up there and swing that bat over and over and over again, and you will hit those home runs and you will have momentum in your business. And that's the other thing, too, is that the more implementation you do, you build that momentum. You build the muscle of being ready before you're ready. You build the muscle of being decisive and just going for it. And the more you go for it, the farther you'll get, the more success you'll have, the more clients you'll gain. Action is progress. Any action is progress. And even if it doesn't result to the right thing, you've learned what not to do. This is the whole thing. I mean, we all have heard the psychology of failing is really success. And, you know, and I've made tons of posts on my profile over the year, you know, talking about, you know, failing is, could be success. Could you imagine that? I mean, if you don't fail, you don't succeed. If you're, you know, are you failing enough? All of those things come into play. And they sound cliched and trite, but there is so much to them. So when was the last time you failed? If you haven't failed in the last week, you haven't tried hard enough. You haven't done enough this last week. So that's what I want to hit on you, is to realize that failing means you're succeeding because you're doing something. You're stretching, you're growing, you're challenging yourself, you're being courageous. So start failing more. Stop being so risk adverse. Go out there and fail big. Because failing will teach you something. Failing will take you somewhere. It's all stepping stones to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so I hope I'm inspiring you that implementation is mastery. You want to master that. The more you can implement, the better you'll be. Some ideas will be a raving success and some won't. So what? Next. Move on to it. Consistency is king. Building momentum is king. Queen, maybe queen, there you go, king and queen. I'm laughing at myself. But ultimately, become a master implementer. If you're not implementing things, you're not moving forward. And if you're moving forward, then, you know, you're being left behind because other people are moving forward past you. And before you know it, you're going to be way at the end of the line. So if you want to up-level your business, then really focus on implementation. Okay, so let's go through the five again. Number one was be more decisive. Like trains, there's always another decision. Two was pushing past your limitations. Don't let yourself hold yourself back. Be bolder. Believe in yourself. You can do this. I know you can. Start before you're ready. Number three was ruthlessly focused. Remember those alligators. You're not there to wrangle alligators. You're there to drain the swamp. So in your business day, you're not there to get hung up on all the problems and little mini fires and squirrels and shiny pennies that are around you. You're there to make money. So focus on what's important to you. What can you subtract from your day so that you can spend more time doing the thing that's really going to make a difference to you? Number four was to get help. Help by two ways, both by worker bees around you, build a team, but also by mentors and support that's going to help up-level your game and find out their shortcuts to success that you can kind of get on that elevator and skip to the top. Number five was rapid execution. Become a master of implementation. That is so key. You really want to master implementation. And so those are our five must-have CEO traits to scale your business. If you're in the chat, I'd love you to post which one, you know, resonated for you. Which one is kind of like, ooh, that was a sore spot. Or maybe it was just an aha. Or maybe I've heard it before, but oh my gosh, today, I heard it differently and I want to move forward on it. So, and also I should pause here and say, guys, start posting your questions in the web, if you're on the computer, on the screen, if you're on the phone, I should look at my phone panel to see if you have a question. You can press star 2 if you dialed in on the phone. I've got some phone folks as well. Press star 2 and you can ask a question. So I'm just going to take a sip of water here and ask Megan if there's any questions that we want to kick off. Who's first? I think we had one. We had a couple actually before the call started because you could post your questions. That's just a little bit of a side note here. We do this every Wednesday. And the email comes out, and there's a link on it. And if you can't make the call, you can always just click the button, post your question, and then listen to the replay to get the answer. Although I love it when people are live. So, Megan, I know we had a couple before. Let's hear one of them. Throw one at me. I'm sipping water.
Yeah, absolutely. And before that, I just wanted to say, like, I love this topic. It hit home for me, the idea that you can implement quickly. I know for myself, I've definitely held back like so many times, just go, oh, but I need all these details, and then I get overwhelmed and then I don't do anything. So I love what you're saying, like just take action, take it consistently, just do it.
Oh, you know, you raise a really good point. Thank you for surfacing that. You know, we do overwhelm ourselves. I didn't use the O word today, but yeah, it's a crazy how we can, all those details actually just overwhelm us. They just slow us down. Yeah. Good one. Thank you.
They absolutely do. And looks like Ron just added to the chat here. Thanks. A lot of ahas. And you put in a powerful order. Definitely inspiring.
Cool.
Oh, and then Ilana, I'm sorry, I'm probably pronouncing your name badly, Ilana. The aha for today is getting help.
Yeah. I know as a solo entrepreneur, it can be really tough for maybe you have a VA or part-time person. You know, it's this dollar reward thing. You know, we want to hang on. You know, we're kind of, maybe if you're kind of starting out and you're newer, you're kind of breaking even, you just got a little bit of money, it's like, oh, my God, I can't afford it. That's the thing I hear all the time is I can't afford it. And ultimately, if you really do the numbers, you can't afford not to. Because, yeah, it's anyways, I'll put the soapbox away. But, yeah, good. I'm glad that resonated for you. Perfect. Okay.
Absolutely. I want to start with this question. This was one that was pre-submitted, but it feels very relevant to what's going on right now. So John said, I have trouble making decisions fast because I want to explore all outcomes, and sometimes I end up not deciding. What can I do to be more decisive?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and it is true. I've done that before where, like, no decision. It's just like, I can't make a safe one, you know, so I just make none. And that's worse. That's almost the worst thing you can do. So for John, I guess the thing is it depends on the decisions. Some, you know, I'm not saying that you can just be rash and not even, you know, think them through. But the thing is we can't think them through so far that we overwhelm and talk ourselves out of it. Some people like making pros and cons lists. That kind of helps them feel like they've got some grounding in it. But give yourself a time limit. That's one of the best things, I think. If you are kind of finding yourself to be that pontificating person where you kind of, you know, just kind of make, you know, lists and you think about it, 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 think about it, and you don't do anything, give yourself a time limit. That's really a huge thing. The other thing, too, is I think for myself, like journaling, you know, ultimately for me, the best thing for me to do is hop on the phone with my coach. Because I actually process information verbally, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm a verbal processor. And so I like to talk things through. And so as I talk things through, I'm getting clearer in my own mind's eye about what I need to do. So I'll often hop on the phone with my coach, and I'll kind of like talk things through. He'll ask me questions as a just laser to the heart of the issue. And he'll hold the mirror up in front of me so I can kind of see what I'm doing. You know, I kind of get a good look at what's not necessarily always the prettiest thing. But those things can really help. So, you know, talk it through or write it through. Sometimes some people are journalers or writers. It's like write it through and kind of explore not so much the details, But go beneath it. I think that's the thing, is sometimes we don't make decisions, not because it's about the information. It's about the feeling from ourselves. Like, you know, it's really not so much about, you know, tactics. It's more about, you know, how do we feel about those tactics? And that's where, like, coaching really works, because the coach can get underneath the actual thing into the feeling of. Because the feeling of is really what's going to hold you back from making that decision. It's not so much the thinking. It really is the feeling. And I hope I'm explaining this well enough. But I find that when I can get to the feeling level, I can kind of really look at it and say, well, this is what's really going on. This is why I'm feeling, you know, when I understand why I'm feeling something, where the resistance is showing up and what is the resistance about, and I solve that, the decision is almost a moot point at that point. And then I share one last thing that we used to always do. Years ago, I had gone to Las Vegas, and I was at Excalibur. And their dollar coin, their dollar slot machine thing, coin, on one side was a dragon. And on the other side was a sword in a stone. And so when I couldn't decide something, I would often bring my assistant into my room, into my office, and we'd flip the coin. And I know you're kind of going, you made big million-dollar decisions on flipping a coin. Yeah, we kind of did. But let me explain the whole story. So what we'd do is we'd flip the coin, and it would be like, heads will do this and tails will do that. And it would land on heads. And it wasn't whatever the coin landed on that we'd do. It was the gut reaction. So when it landed on heads and I thought, oh, that disappointment, that millisecond when you saw what it was and you think, oh, then I knew really what my answer was. So sometimes I had to kind of get the brain out of the way and go with the gut reaction. And the coin's a great way to do that. I know it's a little unorthodox, but it's a great way to tap into that feeling. You know, I was talking about the feeling under the decision. That coin helped me get the feeling under the decision. And so it wasn't really what the coin landed on, heads or tails, we did it or we didn't do. It was more about how I felt. Was I excited by the decision, or was I not so excited by it? And then that would help me make the decision better. So, and also then to know there's another decision coming. So just keep making them. So I hope that helped, John.
Great. Okay, so Heather from Langley has pre-submitted a question here. Mm-hmm. She wants to know, would your ideas work for a counselor? I'm not selling or chasing cold calls. I do provide information to possible referral sources such as doctors.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one, because some industries, we're talking more about the marketing side of things. So some industries, what happens is, you know, as a counselor, it's hard. You can't do direct outreach. You can't pick up the phone and cold call people saying, hey, is your marriage on the rocks? You know, like that's not really going to work, right? Whereas a lot of us other businesses actually should be doing more direct outreach. So, yeah, direct outreach won't necessarily work for Heather as a marketing strategy. But here's something that really will is, you know, we have this fabulous outlet that's free. It's called Facebook and LinkedIn, right? And so we can showcase and gain visibility on social media channels. And so social media channels would absolutely be something that would be perfect for a counselor, and actually for all of us, because it's an opportunity to get in front of people who could use our services. So not knowing what type of counselor Heather is, I'm just going to assume that she does, like, I don't know, individual counseling. Let's just go with that. And even for the rest of you, your coach or consultant, a trainer, these all fit for you as well. So ultimately what we want to do is build visibility. And by building visibility on LinkedIn and our Facebook profile as well as our page. Pages aren't getting the same traction they used to. So, and I know profiles are not meant to be, you know, promoting your business, but you can talk about issues that are important to you. And, you know, I really am a little advocate of using my profile to talk about business, because that's where my community is. And I also talk about Tegan, and I take pictures of sunsets, and I do all the rest of that stuff. But ultimately, I showcase my whole life on my profile, and part of my life, obviously a big part, is my business. So building visibility on social media channels is excellent. You know, you can do kind of a blogish post where you actually talk about some steps. So if Heather was a counselor for, you know, relationships, she could say three ways to have better conversations with your partner. And she could, you know, type them up short. And so like a nice little 300-word post is a cool way for her to demonstrate her expertise. And that goes for every one of us. We can demonstrate our expertise by having these interesting Facebook posts and LinkedIn posts that actually showcase what we know and how we help people without being a flagrant pitch. So that visibility online, that social media visibility, is an excellent way to market yourself. And if you aren't using those channels, then you're really missing out. And so, you know, and then the next piece of it is, too, of course, is we want to try and build a community of our ideal target clients. So how you position who you friend or who you follow or who you invite to connect with you, whatever the channel is, you want to obviously try to move towards those people. So if Heather was a coach, pardon me, a counselor for, you know, single women trying to find men, you know, then she'd want to friend people who aren't married. You know, that would just be a distinction that she'd want to do so that she begins to load up her connections of people who would fit for her. And so, for example, you know, I work with business owners. So if you don't have a business, I'm not going to friend you. Sorry. You know, you're not going to be my friend. That's just all there is to it. So I will decline your friendship request. And a little soapbox moment here, too, is if you don't have your page, your Facebook page connected to your profile and you don't have anything about your business on your profile, I'm not going to friend you because I'm, you know, using Facebook as a marketing tool. And on LinkedIn, same thing on LinkedIn is, you know, you can connect with people in different target markets really easily. And also, don't forget Facebook groups. It's an excellent way to get in front of your ideal prospects. So join groups that your ideal clients kind of would also join, and then you can make comments in the group. Of course, you want to follow the group's rules and regulations about promotion. And notice how I'm saying that all of these posts are more visibility, not self-promotion. That's a distinction. It's about getting visibility. It's about talking about what you do, you know, talking about your client successes, talking about some challenges that your average client would have and how you might help them, you know, without pitching yourself. So it isn't about pitching yourself on these channels. It's about sharing ideas, sharing concepts, talking to the issues, and gaining visibility that way. So that's what I would suggest for Heather. And of course, you know, yes, she does have referral sources, but think also who else knows your ideal client. A hairdresser, depending upon who your ideal client is, could be a great one, or a massage therapist or a personal trainer. So we don't always have to think about totally in alignment. We think about, you know, who talks to our ideal clients. And, you know, if I'm getting my hair done, I might be complaining about my partner, my spouse, or, you know, I might be complaining about that. And the hairdresser, if she's a good referral partner, might say, hey, you know, I know a great counselor who helps people. It sounds like, you know, she might be able to help you. Would you like her card? It's that easy to do. So there are some ideas. Think broader than just doctors. Think who else do your ideal clients talk to or, you know, share their life stories with that would be relevant for the type of counseling you provide. So that's the answer for Heather. What else have we got? Does anyone raise their hand? Anyone want to come on the phone and talk with me today? That would be really fun. So I don't have to do these hypothetical answers and we can really have a conversation. Press star 2 if you're on the phone lines. Love to hear that. And even if you're on the web call and you have your headset connected or, you know, a mic connected, you could talk to me that way too. So any other questions coming in?
I'm just refreshing my screen here. Okay, I do have another one from, this one is from Alina. She says, when do I know if it's time to hire someone? I'm a coach, so what types of things would be best to hire someone to do?
Great question. So here's the thing. The kind of rule of thumb is hire people who can do something cheaper than you can. So for example, just do a running tally for a few days or ideally a week. Really, because, you know, sometimes we don't even recognize the things we do. You know, we just do it all, right? And, you know, whatever's there, damn it, we'll just go do it and we plug our way through it. But when we start really measuring what we're doing and how long it's taking, so for example, maybe what was Elena? Elena was the name?
Maybe? I guess her name was Elena, E-L-E-N-A.
Elena. Okay, great. So maybe for Elena, you know, one of the things to do is to measure off what you're doing day by day. So, for example, if you send out an email, how long does it take you to write the email, prep the email, load it into your delivery system, and hit send? And when you realize, you know, when we start measuring our time, it becomes like almost gut-wrenching. Because we think, oh, I can, that only takes 10 minutes, and all of a sudden we realize it's like an hour and a half. And it's like, oh, my God. So for that hour and a half task that it took me out of my, you know, high-performance, client-generating, revenue-generating work, I could pay someone, you know, $50 to go do that. It's like, it's worth it. So you have to start doing a risk. It's kind of like a time-reward map in the sense of measure off all the things you do, how much time do you spend doing them, and it will become very apparent on what you could hire out someone cheaper to do so that it would free up your time so that you could go do the high-performance task. Now, here's the thing, though. You know, to hire someone to go do a bunch of administrative work will only be beneficial for you if you then take that time. Let's say you hire someone and they work 5 hours a week for you. Those 5 hours a week, then you're out there, you're actually doing client-generating work, where you are out there doing your marketing, whether you're making direct outreach, whether you're doing cold calls, sales calls, whatever, you know, building your visibility, talking to people. Then you're making money, because then you're likely to get clients. If you spent 5 hours trying to get a client this week, I bet you all would. Really, seriously. If you're doing a high-level task, you would. But if you go sit on the couch, watch soap operas, and eat bonbons, well, no, that won't work for you. So you have to be really cautious about, it's great to have work done for you, but you also need to make sure it's done for you and that you're not also doing it with them. That's the thing, some things I notice, is that when you start hiring those first people, you want to babysit them, you want to micromanage them. That's a waste of time. That will lose you money, not make you money. So you want to hire someone good, train them up, then let them go at it. Give them, you know, you need to be a good leader of people. Give them tasks, measure them up. Don't forget to follow up, because we do need to, you know, make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's part of when you delegate something, you always need to, you know, make sure that there's a follow-up to it, that it's got done. But then take that free time that you've just put into your calendar and go make money with it. That's really the key thing of it, is being that disciplined to really turn on and turn off. Revenue-generating time, non-revenue-generating time. So knowing what to hire, do a list of all your tasks, figure out how much time you spend on them, and then figure out, you know, what skills would be best to hire. Some things, easy things to look for, are things that you're not good at, like accounting or some administrative stuff or some tech stuff, or things that you just don't like doing and you never do. You put them off the bottom of the list, or when you do them, you just kind of, it's not filling your boots up. You're feeling grumpy and unhappy about doing it. Those are two key places to start looking. All right, so that answers that for Elena. I'm going to drink some more water.
And Ilana had an excellent comment. She says, my hairdresser is an excellent referral partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hairdressers are really, if you get a good one, they can be really, really good. Yeah, they can be very good. They chat to everyone all day long. In my book, Insider Secrets to Referral Success, that I wrote back in 2010, in that book, I talk about finding referral partners, and hairdressers are really good because they can chat up. But the whole key, with any referral partner, just a little side segue here, with any referral partner, the more information we can give them, we have to train them on how to pass referrals, because we don't want them to just say, oh, well, you should phone Mary Jane. And then, you know, you're talking to that referral partner and they go, oh, I told 3 people to phone you last week. Did they? No. So when we pass the referral, we need to teach our referral partners that we actually want to keep control of the referral and ask the person if they give permission for, you know, you to share their name with you, and so that you can follow up yourself. I know there's too many you's in that conversation, but you get where I'm going with. You know, as the referred person, you always want to know the referral name so that you can do the follow-up and control of it. But, yeah, hairdressers are brilliant that way. And personal trainers are pretty good too, because someone who's actually, you know, in a consumer kind of role where they're just talking to someone and spending time with them, other conversations can blossom really easily. Okay, next question. Throw it at me.
Okay. I've got one here from Pauline. Mm-hmm. She says, I am easily inspired and easily distracted. How do I hone in and refine my ideas without losing interest in them and giving up for the next big idea?
Yeah, and I really wish Pauline could be on this conversation, because I'd love to ask more questions around that. It's a depth of information that I kind of need more background on it. So here's the thing, is it's, you know, we say, how can we hone in, refine her ideas, right? Was that what it was? Without losing interest?
How do I hone in and refine my ideas? Yes.
So, you know, I think at this point, it's really about connecting with the why. When we have a strong connection with why we're doing something, or why, what it will give us, like, you know, so for example, if it's a, you know, I want to make more money, I want to have a bigger client, a bigger business. So making money is a result, but what's the why to that? What will you do with the money? Okay, is it so you could help more people? Is it so that you can retire your partner? Is it so that you can retire early? You can travel the world? I mean, there's a why in there. Is it just that you want to help more people get the result of your business, and why is that important to you? So when we really connect to the why, it often will drag us through that process of getting the answer, getting to the answer, getting the result done. If you're constantly losing interest in your ideas, the other thing that could be coming up is you're hitting your, you know, you're up, you need to up level. You're hitting your limitation, because you're talking yourself out of it, and it can be really insidious. It might not look like you are. It might look like it's just a boring idea, but chances are it could be fear. It could be being challenged. Your confidence. All of those things could be coming up. And how they're showing up is, oh, I just lost interest. Oh, that won't work. That's not interesting to me. Next shiny penny. And instead of worrying about the task, I encourage you to dig deeper underneath it and find out what's going on for you as to why you're losing the interest. What about that? You know, and I really think there's probably a more of an inner game issue to get to. And unfortunately, we can't quite do that without having her on the call. So that's just encourage people, for all of us actually, is, you know, when we stop ourselves, is why are we stopping ourselves? And just recognizing that we're stopping ourselves. And, you know, dig deeper, go down deeper. It's not about the task often. It's about the feeling around the task, which I've talked about already. All right. Any other ones, Megan? Oops, knocked my water over.
Yeah, I've got one more. Well, two more technically. So I'll start with this one. From Melanie, she's asking, how do I know which are the best social media platforms for me to be on?
Oh, great. Well, we just mentioned the Facebook and LinkedIn. That's probably where this came from. So the bottom line is, go where your clients go. Go where your prospects go. You know, if you have a younger demographic, then, you know, you want to go to maybe a different platform that's more aimed at a younger demographic. If you're looking at more of a professional or B2B or bigger companies or corporate, then you definitely want to be on LinkedIn. So, you know, kind of analyze it as, where do your ideal target clients hang out, and then go there. So that's a quick, easy one.
Great. Okay, and last question, actually, I left this for the end. Ilana was asking a few minutes ago. She wants to know how to get the replay of a past session, and since I know what we're working on, I thought you'd want to address it.
Oh, hey, that's a cool one. Thank you for bringing that up. So, you know, I was going to use myself as an example. Sloppy success, you know, about being decisive. This is week maybe four or five. Last month I decided that I want to start kind of getting out there and providing more training. And so it was the lowest barrier to entry for me was using the Bridgeline, which I've had for 18 years, and, you know, just getting on the phone and talking away. And so sloppy success is, you know, we just jumped in, we did it, we didn't the first time we didn't have all the pieces, all the moving pieces haven't been put together necessarily perfectly. It's been kind of sloppy in the sense that we haven't, you know, we don't have a banner for this yet. We're kind of building that as we go. And sometimes in business, we need, you get an idea, build it as you go. This is, you know, I'm kind of showing you what implementation looks like. It isn't always pretty and it isn't always perfect. But when you just get out there and do it and do it and do it, you know what? You can build it as you go. And so, no, I didn't quite answer the question. But the question, the answer is, if you are on my email list, you will have gotten an email every week that gives you the link. And the link for today's call, for example, is the same link as today's replay. And so you will see them in each email. We kind of tell you what the upcoming link is and what the last link is. But beyond that, stay tuned because one of our, Megan and I's next projects is we're going to be putting this on a Facebook page. On my website, there will soon be, I think within the next week, we will have on my website a page that has all the topics and all the live links so you can actually just click and play off the page. And yes, we're doing it on the phone. I chose not to do Facebook Lives intentionally. It's kind of my this is my jam. This is where I show up the best, is just on the phone talking to people. It's like a podcast. You can download the recording and take it on the go with you. Put it on your phone or MP3 player if the people still do those things, but you can listen to it anywhere, walking or driving or in the park or God knows where we go these days, but we can take it and go. So, yeah, it's like a podcast format. So, Ilana, stay tuned for that, or actually, Megan can probably just send you a list of all the links.
I sure could, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing. Maybe what we'll do on our email, we have an email coming out. We always have an email coming out with a replay link. Maybe we'll have all of the links. That's a great idea. Thanks, Ilana. That's cool. I hadn't thought of that yet. So there, a new idea, implementation.
Anyway. You cut out for just a second there, Sue. Do you want to repeat what you last said?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know when I cut out. I said that maybe you – did you hear that point? Maybe you can reach out to Ilana. But then I got even a better idea is that in our email that's coming out with the replay for today, we'll have the list of all of the replays.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, we can do that.
That was the brilliant idea that Ilana inspired me to think. And so we're going to move into implementation, and that will be out. So, Ilana, the next email from me, you'll see a link with everyone. Okay? All right.
Fantastic.
So any other things from the chat before we move on?
I'm taking one last peek. I think that's it for now. Yes.
Okay. So we covered a lot of ground today. Thanks, everyone, for your fabulous questions and for showing up live or listening into the replay. It's been a delight to be here. This is our weekly Wednesday Roadmap to Revenues, where we'll be talking all about business and how to up-level yourself and up-level your business so that you can be more successful, have the lifestyle you choose, and make the impact in the world that you want. I'm Sue Clement, and I just want a couple things I want to offer you or suggest to you is I have a Facebook group called Roadmap to Seven Figures. There's a button right there on the webcast. You can click it and join the group if you so choose to come join us there. We have interesting conversations online there. And then beyond that is for those of you who maybe had a question but might be a little bit shy and didn't want to kind of jump forth and say it, is I offer complimentary strategy calls where we can hop on the phone and you can ask some questions and we can work our way through them. The idea ultimately is to see if and how I can help you and if there's a fit for us to work together. If you are so inspired to take action on that, then just reach out to me either on social media or through emails and let's get something scheduled that we can hop on the phone and have a conversation. So once again, I'm Sue Clement, your Think and Grow Like a Seven-Figure CEO Mentor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today. It's been fun, and I'm going to give you some jazzy music to get you on your day. This is one of my favorite songs lately. So enjoy, listen in, and we'll see you all here next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Oh, I think you Oh, God, yeah.